The FBI is warning local and state officials that extremists with election grievances could turn to violence in the coming weeks. Election officials in swing states are particularly on edge, including in Georgia. So are voters there on both sides. Here's WABE's Sam Greenglass.
Gabe Sterling was fuming.
It has all gone too far.
By December 2020, Trump and his allies had been making false claims about election fraud for weeks. Sterling, a top deputy for Georgia's Republican Secretary of State, called a press conference.
It has to stop.
In one instance, two election workers faced so many threats they had to leave their homes and jobs.
And I think we're more prepared this time. What I'd get concerned about is some new tactic.
Sterling hopes one day this misinformation-soaked environment breaks. But it hasn't happened yet. Trump has so far declined to say he'll accept the results of this election. 4 years ago, talk of a stolen election, despite audits and recounts proving otherwise, propelled Daryl Kidd to Washington, D.C. on January 6, where a mob violently breached the Capitol. Outside a Trump rally in Atlanta, Kidd is wearing a Trump Save America hat. He says he didn't participate in any of the violence that day, but he did have doubts about the 2020 election.
This time, I think it's going to be more secure. In Georgia, anyway, I think it'll be more protected.
A controversial overhaul of Georgia election laws has given him confidence. But Kidd is less sure about other states. He says he would not rule out protesting the result again. Nearby, friends Tina McKay and Dory Walters are decked out in red and say they're processing more recent political violence, assassination attempts on Trump. I asked if that made them hesitant to attend.
I thought about it when it first happened. I thought, oh, how scary that would be. But when as soon as I was able to get a ticket here, I didn't think twice of it.
Yeah, I mean, I do fear for him because I do feel like he's got a huge target on his back.
The motives behind the attempts remain unclear. Walters and McKay say they blame Democrats, not Trump, for spiking the political temperature. Both campaigns have described their opponents as grave threats, but it is Trump who talks about bypassing Democratic norms and uses language laced with violent imagery and incendiary claims. Some of his harshest rhetoric has targeted immigrants.
I've been in this country 54 years. I did it the right way.
Daniela Yusarin, who's from Uruguay, welcomes Trump's hardline stance. She says illegal immigration reflects poorly on immigrants like her. But what about Trump's false claims about legal migrants in Springfield, Ohio, eating pets?
As far as those issues in Ohio, I really can't say what's the reality.
The reality is that the claims are false, but the city still faces bomb threats. And for many immigrant communities, that is causing fear. At a Democratic canvassing kickoff at Peachy Corners Cafe, Trump's rhetoric is weighing on volunteers like Tamita Shamsuddin, who are picking up campaign flyers and Vietnamese coffee.
It's just dividing us even more with these non-truths and made-up stories.
Shamsuddin immigrated from Bangladesh nearly three decades ago.
And I never felt like I was anything less than, you know, because I got my education, got a job, and became, you know, what I hope is a contributing citizen. And it's personal for me, and it's hurtful.
Wearing a Harris Walz camo hat, Shamsuddin says she's committed to the campaign work. But knocking on strangers' doors to talk politics can be anxiety-inducing. In 2021, a shooter killed six women of Asian descent at spas around Atlanta. While the gunman hasn't been convicted of a hate crime, the incident made many Asian Americans fear they could be targeted. Volunteer Nathonia Adesti moved from Indonesia as a toddler. Whenever she passes one of the spas,
I always think about how, like, that could have been my dad, that could have been my mom, that could have been a family friend.
At a high top, Tavin is reading a comic book.
I'm a gun owner. Like, I want to vote Republican, but the rhetoric towards immigrants has been something that has made me not want to vote Republican.
Vin came to the U.S. as a refugee from Cambodia in 1980. He remembers receiving a welcome basket. These days, he feels that spirit has faded, but the political climate has made him more resolved to go vote with his family.
Because we want to make it a big deal, all the kids together, and I want us as a family to, like, vote in a way that shows that we're part of this country.
Vin says he sees his vote as more than a choice for president. It's a way to assert he belongs in the country where he found refuge. For NPR News, I'm Sam Greenglass in Peachtree Corners, Georgia.